You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Happy Monday. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. We got Law back there spinning the dials.
What up?
Doing all that fun stuff.
Do you spin dials back there?
I don't know. Yes.
It looks more button.
More faders, buttons.
Pusher, but yeah, there's some fading.
You are a button pusher.
I don't know where the spinning the dials term came from in radio production.
Where did that come from, Jay?
It's never really been wheels. It's always been faders and buttons and... There's probably a real more dial back.
Probably
there.
More older radio boards probably had more dials than
as far
faders.
As I can recall, it's always been faders.
But would you spin them though? You wouldn't really spin them.
I don't think you would spin them.
Well, it's probably radio stations when they played vinyl records, you had to spin it more.
I don't know if you'd ever call that a dial, the old wheel of wax. I guess you would say. But I don't know. I had to hit up one of my old engineering
too
slash.
Too bad the grabber's
producers.
Not around. I bet you he knew why.
You know who would know? True. Dave Miska. Good old Dave Miska. I'm sure he's watching. He would let me know. I'll let you know what I find out. Tune in tomorrow to find out why. Anyway, thanks for being here. We appreciate y'all being here as always. And again, shout out Saturday night / Sunday morning.
Yeah.
A huge turnout.
Lots of people.
For the Hawks 5-4 overtime win. We were shocked how many people were on YouTube. And quite frankly, it was a little bit inspiring after a late night with overtime, after a long week of late games, to see that when we log on to the show. It was like, oh, man, all right, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was really great to see. So thank you for doing that.
I mean, I think it was mainly because Braggs was producing.
I think so.
You know, he's now a star.
I mean, maybe.
He doesn't
hurt.
He asks Matt Painter questions that go viral, you know.
Saw that.
He's got a knack for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been killing it, man.
He's in the stands.
Well, do us a favor and kill that like button for us. Smash it, elbow it, leg drop it, perfect plex it. Give it the Yokozuna Banzai drop. You could do what Rhea Ripley did this weekend.
Yes.
Rub your butt all over it.
You could
Stink
do that.
Face.
Yeah.
Just once before I die.
Didn't say that.
Lots of things to do to that like button. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page as well.
That wasn't the Rockford show, was it?
No.
Oh, no. Darn.
I would have walked to Rockford for that.
And also, podcast listeners, make sure you are following and subscribe to all that fun stuff and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. All right. Let's start with today's practice. Now, we learned after Saturday's game that during the first period, Luke Richardson really gave it to the Hawks. Ryan Donato called it intense and scary.
Mm-hmm.
So he was asked about it today. I think we should just sort of let Luke speak for himself here. So just so you know, this is not the full Luke Richardson. He's talked for about 17 minutes today.
It was a lot of talking for a guy who did not have his full voice today.
Yes. So it starts off with him explaining the talk during the intermission, and then later it gets to Charlie Romeliotis asking, my Greek brother, asks him about the bag skate that happened to practice today. So it's spliced together. It's all on the first period lecture and the bag skate today. Here he is, Luke Richardson.
The bag skate at the end there. It's just kind of getting the message across? Or
yeah, a little bit of a kind of grab their attention. And you know, I mean, I know we skipped out of the game, luckily, on top. But, you know, and that's great on them that they were able to do that. But, you know, if we go back two games, we really weren't happy with our performance in two games. And that's just not professional enough for me. So you have to do it every day. And sometimes that's the way the game is played, up and down the ice or over and back. So it just, you know, sets home that, it's, you know, really unacceptable, really for the standard that we want to have for work ethic. So we worked in practice today.
Did you have to reconcile the the good of coming back from a 4-0 deficit versus, hey, that start is unacceptable?
Yeah, no, I thought we, in video today before practice, we showed where we were not great at all. And part of it was mentally and some of it was physically. And I think both, you know, that's a disaster. And I said, you know, like I thought they, not take anything away from San Jose, I thought they worked hard and they deserved to have a 4-0 lead. And we were just, we got some breaks and we made some good plays in the second half. And we showed a few areas where it looked like that tide turned in the second period. We started to play a little faster and a little bit more urgent. And then guys came to life, but I said, that's not going to happen every night. And it didn't happen the game before. So that's a good lesson to take from those two games.
Kind of the players are saying you let them have it a little bit after the first period. As a coach, how do you balance, like, when you pick those spots to share those frustrations? Because if you do it too many times and it loses its meaning, you're very calm and, like, you don't do that a ton. So, like, how did you know, like, this is a...
I didn't wait till after the first session. I waited for a timeout and I called them in close because I didn't want to waste the timeout that early in the game. And I don't like doing that. And it just got to the point where... And it didn't get much better right away. But, you know, I mean, I think it, you know, it might take time to sit and settle in. But, you know, I don't know. I didn't really want to wait till the end of the first because then, it could, you know, trickle and get worse. And, you know, you're right. I don't think you can do that too often. I think it just falls on deaf ears after a while. And I think what you need to do is, you know, make them realize that, this is up to them to be ready. And you know, I mean, we need to be ready and give them a good game plan that they can succeed at, which we think it is. And if we're always up for discussion with them about certain parts of our systems and what we do and questions on gray areas and how to fix them and maybe even a little change. It's them playing the game. They're the ones that see it on the ice. It's even different. We're so close on the bench, but they're even closer on the ice. It's a different view. So we take that into consideration, but when we feel like we've done our job and prepared them and we're doing the exact opposite of what our pregame message was and our video of the other team was, and they're doing the exact same thing that they're doing, that's just, it's unprofessional and it's unacceptable. So you just, I let them know that in the best way, fashion of urgency that I thought was needed at the time, and then I tried to back off and say not too much at all. Even sometimes it's hard. I want to kind of talk through a shift so other people can see what's going on the ice and get the message, but I just try to back off and let the assistants talk and do some stuff for the rest of the period, and then I didn't go in between periods. I didn't feel like, why would I double up on the message and then sound contradictory or repetitive? One of the two. So I just stayed out of there and hopefully the veterans take that message and figure it out. And it took a little while. The start wasn't great. It was still shaky. But I thought in the middle of the period when Donato scored that goal, it started in our zone and we started to play faster. And I think once we got that goal, our bench really lit up. And we had a really good second goal from Tyler on a forecheck. And that was just from our urgency of play, of getting out of our zone quick and getting in on the offensive forecheck and making the other team turn the puck over. And I thought it was just, they just started to believe. And I went in after the second period and just said that they worked hard. They put themselves in a position. I said, we don't need to win this game in 5 minutes. We have 20 minutes, 20 plus minutes, really. And that's what we did. And I don't think we're very risky. I thought we were very determined. And we had some really good scoring chances and created, I know we scored on a delayed penalty, but, six on five, which was great, but I thought they earned all those situations. So even the face-off, we showed the face-off in overtime, how hard Kershaw was digging, and Connor came in really hard and worked, and the two of them won that face-off back to Seth. And then I thought we played it really smart. We never gave him the puck back, and then Connor drove through the middle on the entry, and it took two guys with him because he draws attention. And that opened up a huge space gap between Seth coming down the middle and whoever was supposed to cover him, and he made a great shot. So I thought it was textbook in overtime. And obviously Peter probably Didn't love the team's first half of the game, but I thought in about, I think it was like 13 minutes left in the third period, he made a huge save coming out of the corner with his kind of his glove and his arm. One of the only point blank chances I thought we gave up in the third, and he kept it 4-3 that gave us that opportunity. So I thought it was a full team effort the second half of the game. Full team effort first half of the game to get into that trouble, and a full team effort to get out of it. So at least they all did it together.
Navigating that situation, knowing to kind of bring them out of the commercial break, not go into the first, go into the second. Did you know that coming in at the start of last year, or is that something you feel like you've maybe learned how to navigate better as the 2 years have gone on?
Well, in my 2 years here, we've been in so many situations at the end of the game where we're one goal differential. Like, we've been in a lot of 6-on-5 situations, which we scored the other night, and we've been in, you know, even a lot of tight games over the course of 2 years that we're in a 5-on-6 situation. You need that timeout. You need it, especially when you're leaning on guys back-to-back shifts at the end of games. So it really is a disaster if you have to use it early to wake them up, and then you don't have it when you work hard to be in a one-goal game at the end. It could cost you. So I don't know if I necessarily learned that. I just realized that it's going to be more common than not to need that. So it sounds simple. You're like, oh, it doesn't matter. Why, you know, take it now. But you know, utilize those three TV timeouts. It's hard because there's lots of music and lots of going on. But you, I think if you're organized and you use it properly, I think it gives you another opportunity to speak to your team without using that timeout.
It seems like back in the day that maybe that verbal approach was used more frequently by coaches at this level, even all the way down to minor hockey. Mm-hmm. How have you seen are players different, or were they always the same and just with misuse?
I think society is different. That's just the way the world is now, and that's just, you know, I mean, there's more knowledge on how to treat and communicate with people. So I think you got to realize you got 20 different personalities on the bench. Sometimes one sentence is going to mean 20 different things to 20 different people. So you have to, I was pretty clear, I think, and they all got the same message on that one. But I think you have to make sure that what you say, you got to be careful what you say, because it could be taken in a different, you know, meaning or context to 20 different people. So when you're trying to get 20 people to connect, especially 5 of them on the ice at the same time, you got to be really clear.
When you have these kind of letdown periods or letdown games, do you get a sense from either your veterans or your assistants about what is causing it? Like, is it mental fatigue, senioritis? Like, what is it?
Yeah, I don't know. If that's a good one, but I kind of feed off some of the veterans talking on the bench. And you can tell when they're, you know, trying to lift the team up, and maybe I step back and let them do it. They kind of hear me say something, and then I can tell they're feeding off of what I said. Same as the assistants are great. They kind of know at that moment, they just kind of step back. But then after that, they let it settle. They know that I can't really say much more after that. So they got to step forward. So they've all played, and they understand that. And we talk about it lots of times. So I count on both. You know, differences, you know, services, and you never know when that's going to be. Sorry, got my today. It's following me. It's a 21-day cough, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, do you know why the players kind of fall into that trap?
No, I don't know why. That I just I lean on the other guys to help get out of it. You know, or sometimes maybe I have to step up and say something. But I think in 82 games for 32 teams, it happens to everybody. The good teams don't let it happen as often at all. Like, you know, you have driven guys that drive it all the time, and they're going to carry people with them. Oh, it's not my night. No, too bad. You're coming. And, you know, that's what we want here. We want that culture here. And, you know, we have guys like that, and we need more.
There he is, Luke Richardson, Blackhawks head coach, talking about Saturday's piss-poor first 30 minutes and today's bag skate. So accountability, it's a good thing. It's a big thing.
Yeah, and it's all about setting a tone, setting a precedent for the you know, expectations of the organization. So they got the win. It was great, great comeback effort. But like he said, like, they had a horrible performance against the Ducks. You come out like that against the Sharks, like, you need a kick in the butt sometimes. So it worked this time, but it's not something he's always going to go to, because that's not his style, and it becomes ineffective.
Then you're Gerard Gallant, and you're in a new job every year and a half.
Or you're John Tortorella.
Right.
Yep. All right, we're going to dig into that a little more here on the other side of the break. But first, we want to tell you, and you know this by now, that you shouldn't have to worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event. And with Game Time, you don't have to. They're the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. They've got great last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, that's key, and their best price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. It's the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. They're obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use that code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
And if you're in the market for a brand new vehicle, the best offers of the year are going on right now during the March Radness sales event.
Rad.
Make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on the savings. One of the top selling Chevy dealers in the Midwest, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. They have the perfect tailgate vehicles at Ray Chevy during Truck Month. For trucks. A limited time only, they're offering 0% financing for 72 months on new Silverados with over 100 available. They also have 125 vehicles in stock currently priced under $20,000. Seriously, guys, nice. Can pricing get more affordable? Yeah. I think not.
I don't think so.
And what's more affordable than free?
Not much.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And that's what you're going to get this month at Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake. A free oil change. All you need to do is mention CHGO when scheduling your oil change. Start your spring off right and schedule it by April 1st. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Find new roads.
All right. I got a question in the chat here from Scott, who says, "Hi, everybody. How come it's called a bag skate? Is it because they skated hard until someone throws up in a bag?" There are several theories.
That's one of them.
That is one of them. My favorite is you skate so hard that your scrotum falls off. Bag skate.
Yikes. Sure.
Not literally.
I hope not literally.
Skate your balls off.
Yeah.
Skate your bag off.
I've always correlated it to the pucks stay in the bag, so you don't have a normal practice. You just skate all the time.
Sounds good. And I think also there may be a variation where they would put the bags on the ice and you had to skate around the bags in a continuous circle. So there are many different reasons. If you play like a bag, you have to bag skate the next day. I don't know.
Yeah,
lots of reasons. Basically,
Tom Wilson would never stop.
You never want a bag skate. They are not fun.
The one they did today looked especially shitty.
Well, the fact that they do it at the end of practice when they've been skating hard for 45 minutes and then they just up and down and back and forth and up and down and back and forth.
Yeah, so it was end-to-end. And then they would go, so it was end to end, and then you go backwards to the neutral zone and turn around again. And then you did sideboards back and forth twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would rotate. So you just go halfway, you know, board to board, then end to end. And you just, I think everybody went, I think, four times.
I think probably twice through, I think.
Yeah. Right. It was, did not look pleasant.
No, never fun.
A lot of red faces and guys.
A lot of heavy breathing.
I mean, these are guys who are professional athletes, and they were hurting
by the
end of it. There's no doubt about that.
Even I was winded.
Yes.
In fairness, I did go up the stairs 20 minutes earlier, so that's normal.
Yeah, and when they were setting up, like, everyone was, like, you know, spaced out along the boards. I was just like, what is this drill? And they all just started skating back and forth. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun.
It was Foligno, by the way, when it was over. who was like, all right, boys, let's go stretch. I kind of had to rally everybody back together after that, because it used a lot of
wind down,
hands on knees and heads down. I didn't see anyone throw up, but
not on the ice.
Oh, it did not look enjoyable.
Yeah.
But look, and kind of what Luke said is that's not something you can go to all the time. And I don't know. We're seeing more and more often as the team loses games and the efforts aren't there. A lot of people saying like the team has tuned out the coaching staff and stuff like that. I don't think that's the case at all, because when you hear Luke Richardson speak, you hear a coach that knows what the hell he's talking about. You're hearing from a coach who knows what it's like to be both a good player and a lunch pail kind of a player. Like Luke Richardson, to me, if you're drawing up like the perfect head coach, and I'm not saying he's a perfect head coach, but when you're like checking boxes, former player with ability, also had to really work hard for everything he had, has been through the grind, played thousands of games. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he checks all those boxes. And then when you hear him speak, his justifications are always sound. Yeah. Whether or not you agree or disagree with them is one thing, but the explanation there that he offers, is it always makes sense.
Yeah, I think there's very little to, I think, be, you know, critiquing in his style. The results obviously are not great, but it's the roster that he's been handed, and I think he's trying to do the best to get the most out of it. And look, like these are professional hockey players. They're, you know, for the most part, grown adult men. And they have to show up ready to go. It's their job to play hockey and be ready to go when right from the first puck drop. And from what, you know, Luke said in the in his availability today, it was just like, you know, we feel like we put together a sound game plan, and when the guys go out and do the exact opposite of that game plan to start that game, and then they're down 2-0, and then he has to jump on them. You know, that's, I don't know what more a coach can do than lay out the game plan. Here's the how and the why. Now you guys got to go out and do it. And then they don't. Like, it's hard to throw that back at a problem with Richardson. And I don't think it's a problem that these players are disregarding what he's saying purposefully. I think if you are, then we have to have a much different conversation. But it's about making sure that, you know, these guys are on the same page and understanding that the season is 82 games long, not 70. Like, you still have to finish out these last 11 games strong and have those efforts there for a sense of pride. And these are guys that they've endured a lot of losing this year. Like, finishing out the year with some meaningful efforts, getting some wins, like, I think that's going to be good for the guys that are going to be here beyond this season to experience.
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot of, you know, a lot of chatter. It's been around a little bit this year, but, you know, the last couple of days since that start, you've seen a lot of, you know, oh, the team's not responding to Richardson. They don't play hard for him. There's no NHL coach in the entire league that goes in right before the game starts and gives them the rah-rah, Newt Rockne win one for the Gipper speech. Yeah. That doesn't exist.
No, that's the movies.
So the coach's job is to have a game plan to put his team into a place to succeed. Give them the best chance to win. That's the coach's job. The coach's job is not there to motivate the team to be ready to play every night.
But they're professionals.
They shouldn't need to be motivated. No, it's not a little league baseball team where you got to keep everybody focused because they want to, you know,
your treat ticket at the end of the game.
Yeah, like, this is professional hockey. You should, if you are in a room and you have to go in there every game and say, come on, guys, we got to play hard. You got to be ready. Let's go. Rah, rah, rah. That's a whole nother problem right there. So the difference is, like, you see Richardson's system is pretty, like, basic, simple hockey that hasn't changed much since he's been here, because, you know, that's the only type of hockey you could really play with the roster that he has right now. But look at the difference between Luke Richardson and Jeremy Colleton.
Yeah.
Jeremy Collison's teams were never prepared to play because they had no idea what the F was going on.
And they were let's make no mistake, too. They were loaded with all-stars. Yes, many of them towards the end of their careers, but you had guys who were multi-time all-stars, Hall of Famer to borderline Hall of Famers, looking at each other like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this guy? What is this system?
You went from winning three Stanley Cups to this guy coming in and saying, well, okay, Duncan Keith, I need you to just chase this guy up and down the ice. I don't care where he is.
Right.
Duncan Keith, you're better off in the neutral zone than in front of our own net. Like, there's a difference between the two. So at some point, you have to get mad at the players for not showing up and not executing.
Right.
The coaches can only do so much. When the puck drops, it's on the players
right.
to execute, to perform, to give a shit.
And my whole thing, too, is as you look at this particular team and last year's team, the two that Luke has had, instead of looking at – and look, we get caught up in the game-to-game thing, too, because it's our job. We do post-game shows. Our jobs are to react after the games. Of course, you're going to get caught up in that sort of thing. But zoom out and look at the guys that matter, right? Bedard, Vlasic, Korchinski, on and on and on. These young players are going to be presumably part of this thing when they're ready to compete again. All of them have gotten better and better and better.
Mm-hmm.
Lucas Reichel had a bit of a setback, and the coaches did everything they could to try to get him out of that. First line, center, wing, third line, fourth line, second line, whatever you could possibly do to try to get Lucas Reichel going, they tried and it didn't work. They finally sent him to Rockford. He kind of got the message and has come back and has been a different guy.
Mm-hmm.
He has gotten the message. And Luke said, like, pointed out today, we'll post it on our YouTube, the whole thing, all 17 minutes Luke today. Just that moment where Reichel had that one-timer, right, where he goes and finds himself open space and puts a stick up, like, get it to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of stuff they're looking for from him. Take charge. Take command. That's what Reichel wasn't doing. So now, if you want to throw Reichel into that category of ascending, the young players that matter are growing. And someone in the chat pointed out, too, look at Caleb Jones from the start of last year to the end of last year.
Yeah.
Different guy.
Got a lot better.
Totally different guy.
Look at Philip Kurashev from the start of last season to right now.
Look at Seth Jones
from
his first year with Jeremy Colleton to now.
Yes, there is progression. There's development going on, and that's what you want. Now, when this team gets to the point in 2025, 2026, when they're like, hey, it's go time. And if you start seeing the underachieving or you start seeing, questionable game plans and questionable coaching decisions, then we could start having these discussions on a more serious base. But right now, it's just so early in the process. Like, yeah, are there things that go wrong at times? Absolutely. Are there things that Luke needs to improve on? Absolutely.
Sure.
But overall, it's been a fairly positive, first 2 years of this, wins or losses aside. Like, these teams aren't built to win. Last year's roster, this year's roster, not built to win.
No.
This year's roster was not supposed to be worse than the league, but it wasn't supposed to compete.
Yeah.
It wasn't supposed to be a playoff team. The important things that we need for this team, big picture, are happening. And that's the important part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, and Jay, you wrote about it, how you evaluate Richardson. You kind of have to evaluate him in little, like, pockets right now, like we're talking about, like with the development of the young guys. When the expectation is there for results to be there in the next few seasons, that's when you can really say, like, okay, what is he doing that can take the team to the next level now that he's been given more to work with? And I think until then, like, it's, he was brought in to be the coach that is going to see out the rebuilding process. And then once that's over, bring them up to the next level altogether. So it's not like he's just being a placeholder and it's just like, well, he's just riding out all these losses until the next guy's going to be here. Like, their plan is for him to be here. And so they will eventually give him a lot of tools to, like, go out there and have a competitive team, have a young team of guys that have developed into hopefully close to their ceilings and their potentials. And then, the expectation will be playoffs and, beyond that.
What would you rather have working with the young players right now? A guy like Luke Richardson, who is very, you know, explains everything very well, very detailed. Mm-hmm. Or would you rather have Pascal Vincent in Columbus, who was playing Adam Fantilli less than 10 minutes a night, who benched and then demoted Kent Johnson in October, who demoted David Jurecek and like making questionable line changes, making questionable, like stunting the development of your young. What would you rather have?
I would rather any question Luke about it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think there's, I think there's a lot more good when you get into the details of things, than there is, you know, things to really hammer on and be like, oh, so this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, he knows very much about what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
The only concern I've had with him this year is, why have the starts been bad frequently? That's my only thing.
Yeah. No, I think that, and that's fair, since, you know, you see it pretty consistently, but I mean, honestly, at this point, is it a full season of the coaching staff doesn't know how to start a game or present a game plan that the team can start the game fast? Or is it maybe some of these guys don't have the motor revved up right away, and for whatever reason, it either just doesn't kickstart or it takes 20 minutes of bad hockey before you realize, oh, shoot, we're playing bad hockey. Like, I have a hard time laying it at the feet of the coaching staff entirely.
Yep. Who's telling us about Circa today?
Me.
Hey.
Hey, Circa Sportsbook. If you like winning money on sports wagering, then do it with Circa Sportsbook, because it is the best sportsbook around. They have tight money line splits and low hold models, so they will strive to keep games, for example, at a minus 110 split on their Circa Sports menu, while other sports books may have the same game at minus 115 or minus 120. Circa Sports keeps as little money as possible on large market bets compared to other books, and they do not limit players based on their winnings. Other books will limit players if they're winning a lot of money. Circa wants you to try and take as much money from them as possible, and they also want you to look at all those different betting sites, look at all those different apps, compare the lines, and see that you are going to get all of the best lines from Circa, and you're going to get the best customer service from Circa as well. They have real people behind the Circa Sports brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike other books who will use chatbots.
Ooh.
Ooh, those suck. All aspects of the app are being run by the same team that runs the main Circa Sports book at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. So what you want to do is download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app. Sign up today and be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That is 1-800-426-2537. Or text GAMB, G-A-M-B. Why do you keep looking at me? You're throwing me off.
Focus on the read, man.
I feel like I'm doing something wrong. You keep looking at me. I'm like,
I'm just gonna keep staring.
Yeah,
man. Shake your head too.
Text GAMB, GAMB, to 833-234, or visit areyoureallywinning.com. My anxiety. The best of me.
Guilty conscience.
You kept looking at me like I was like, do I have something on my face? Was something happening?
I was enjoying the wonderful reading of the disclaimer. I was really into it.
No more eye contact during reads.
New rules.
Hey, everybody. Beer. Specifically,
I'll stare at you now.
Coors Light. And whether it's the Blackhawks stressing you out, because they can do that on a night-to-night basis, or just life in general, your job sucks, you're stuck
or
at
just
a
Greg staring at you
cubicle from 9 to 5, I cannot be shaken. Coors Light helps you chill all the time. They are the beer that we use to help us find our chill moments all the time. And you know what makes it so chill? Because it's ice freaking cold.
The Rockies.
That yes. Makes sense. Absolutely. Checks. It's so damn good. When the mountains turn blue, it's as cold as the Rockies. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. When it's time to chill, open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as your Colorado Rockies. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer we reach for. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGOHockey. That's CoorsLight.com/CHGOHockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. So I saw Godfather CHGO in the chat saying he would prefer a Bruce Cassidy type.
I got good news for
of
you,
head
though.
Coach.
Mm. You just gonna stare at me now?
No, you were talking. So I
was... See how easy it is.
Well, yeah, it's okay. I thought you were talking to me.
I can.
What's good news, Greg?
Good news is I'll take a Bruce Cassidy type. It's kind of what Luke Richardson is. Bruce Cassidy and Luke Richardson are like tight, good friends from the same town. They talk to each other all the time. Their coaching styles are pretty similar. The difference is Bruce Cassidy has had Stanley Cup caliber rosters. So if you take a Bruce Cassidy type, so will I. I think they got one.
Yeah.
Just the results aren't there because, you know, he doesn't have Jack Eichel and Mark Stone.
I just wonder, the people that want to fire Luke, which, let's be honest, is not a lot of people, what is it specifically that makes you want him to lose his job?
Because the team is losing games?
By design.
Yeah, because they don't have a roster to win many games.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a coaching thing. That's a roster thing. Yeah, I think it's in professional sports, one of the easiest things to do when a team is not winning games, when you're looking at it from just a wins and loss perspective, the easiest thing to do is say, oh, the coach is the problem. Let's fire him and get a new coach in here. You can't just fire the players so easily. Let's just fire the coach and try something new. But you have to look at what the Blackhawks are trying to accomplish. You have to look at the process that they went through in getting Richardson here, and you have to look at the roster and what they're trying to accomplish over the next couple of seasons. It's not so cut and dry, and you know, we'll get random emails from sports books that we don't trust that say Luke Richardson is plus 600 and the second highest odds to be on the hot seat and the next head coach fired. It's like, okay, you're just not paying attention.
Right.
That's fine. You're just looking at the record. You're just looking at the record and saying, the highest odds is whoever's the coach of the Sharks. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Hockey without telling me you don't actually watch.
So you have to look at like everything that they're trying to lay out, and Richardson's part of it.
And our buddy Windy City Hockey brought it up way earlier in the chat. He says, look at the two of the most successful and respected coaches in the league right now are John Cooper and Jared Bednar from Colorado. Mm-hmm. John Cooper from Tampa, obviously two of the best head coaches in the league. I don't think anyone would argue that. If those two guys became like fired coaches, they'd be hired within the day of being fired, both of them.
Yeah.
And they both started off with crap ass rebuilding bad rosters.
Yeah.
And the team stuck with them through the ups and the downs, and they came out the other side all of a sudden not hockey idiots. Funny how that works.
Yeah, suddenly.
And there's so many teams that just fire. We're going to fire, 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 fire. There's no continuity. There's no stability. Mm-hmm. Every year, players are learning a brand new system. We talk about it all the time, like in other sports. Think about this, like in the NFL. That's why the Bears didn't fire their coaches, because they said, look, we feel like we got a pretty good team. If we can make a couple upgrades, which they have, mm-hmm. instead of everyone starting from scratch and learning a new defensive and offensive system, we're going to stay stable for the most part, bring in some new, better players, and all of a sudden the expectations are much better.
Yeah.
Whether or not you agree with that is fine. That argument can be had. But there is an argument for continuity. And until you can tell me specifically what Luke Richardson is doing to cost this team games, and I haven't seen any of them. Nate says here, my only criticism of Luke is his devotion to Tenorti. Well, the other option is Jacob Magna. Right? Like, it's not like he's benching Kevin Korchinski over Jared Tenorti. And yeah, like we all had issue with Isaac Phillips sitting and Louis Crevier sitting, but it wasn't because those guys weren't performing or were outperforming Tenorti. It's just because, well, they're younger, they have more upside. I feel the team has made their decision on those two guys, especially Phillips.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of not awesome seeing those young guys that you'd think were fighting for, you know, positions within the organization and their future not getting the opportunity to do so, and instead of Jared Tenorti, who doesn't have a future with the organization beyond this season. But I think I think to the point, like, there is some loyalty to Tenorti there, which, look, like, he's a guy that a lot of people enjoy playing with, you know, a good teammate. He's going to do a lot of the things that not everyone does, play physical and stand up for teammates and everything. But I think there's a limit to that, and we've seen it this season. But yeah, I mean, and look, lineup changes, small things like that, like, sure, like, you can get a little prickly about, but, you know, worrying about first line, second line, third line, fourth line with this roster, like, it's all kind of the same. Like, unless you're playing with Connor Bedard, like,
Connor Bedard
mix
line,
and match, it's really only going to be marginal differences at most.
Yeah, and we didn't play it in the clip, but it'll be on the full YouTube. Like, Luke Richardson speak, pretty much criticized Tornorti today. Was asked about him, and like,
yeah,
he's not a guy that's going to sit out there and really, you know, throw a guy under the bus. But he came close to it a little bit. He criticized him a lot, so he sees it. He knows that Tornorti is not a perfect player by any means. But just to kind of like wrap up the coaching talk, you know, it's amazing to use examples from another sport that guys like Bill Belichick and Sean Payton all of a sudden become bad coaches when they don't have the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, funny how when Tom Brady retires, Bill Belichick sucks.
Yeah, or Sean Payton goes to Denver with Russell Wilson. He doesn't have Drew Brees anymore. That all of a sudden, he can't win games.
Crazy.
It's weird how that works. So when the roster gets better, then we can really start to evaluate where we are with Luke Richardson. Until then, he's here.
It's just that all the criticism is just, well, it's how I feel. It's just a gut feel. It's not,
right,
like with Cowan, it was like, look at this.
Yeah.
The system is not, look at this system doesn't work. Yeah.
The system itself does not work.
And he had a, just a steadfastness of like, no, it's my way. This works. It's, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Watching at home, you're just like, what the fuck are we watching? Like, yeah. It just wasn't.
You knew it, watching a game like this.
Each game was not normal-looking hockey,
yeah,
whether they won or lost.
It, watching Calton's system made you glitch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not what hockey looks like.
Yeah.
It's like playing a video game with the offsides turned off. You're like, wait a minute. This is not. Why is that guy way up? Like, it just didn't make sense visually for watching hockey. And Region Rev says, Luke sacrificed developing Phillips for his Tenorti love. And we were sort of on that page, too. The Athletic publishes player cards for every team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a giant tabulation of different metrics, statistics, all those sort of things. Isaac Phillips was the worst-rated player on the Blackhawks this year by a significant margin. And look, would I have preferred him in the lineup to Jared Tenorti? Yes, 100% of the time. But I do think that Luke and Kevin Dean are seeing things that we don't see.
Possibly.
And there's also something to be said for, if you're leaving a kid out there to get his ass kicked over and over and over again, that is also stunting development. So it's that balance of how much can he take.
Yeah, and some of the players this year, you know, kind of in the same boat, that development young player boat, like Korchinski and Vlasic, they have made the strides to play those kinds of minutes, play in those situations, and keep, you know, keep up with it, be able to kind of handle it. And some guys get, like with Phillips, he was up and down from Rockford, playing top minutes in Rockford, playing in all different scenarios with Rockford. And he comes up to Chicago, it's third pairing, it's limited minutes. And, you know, if you're having bad results in limited minutes, that's going to be something that maybe is a little harder to adjust to at the NHL level, from an off-the-ice standpoint than an on-the-ice thing. So you also have to manage that as well with these players. Luke talked about it today, with how you communicate with players. Like, it's a lot different than in years past, where one message is the blanket statement. Like, you have to be able to communicate to different personalities and different guys and stages that they're in their careers, or where they're at, you know, right now, season to season, how they're playing. So I think there's maybe some things that were different with Phillips than with some of the other young guys. I'd love to see him. I think he's an RFA this year. I'd love to see him get another opportunity to come back, whether it's playing in Rockford with that group again, or having an opportunity to fight for some minutes and in the NHL. I'd love to see him come back when, you know, you You don't think Megna and Tenorti are going to be on this team next year. You know, we'll see what happens with Connor Murphy. We'll see what happens with other guys like Ethan Delmastro and Nolan Allen as they progress. And maybe they'll be back in Rockford next year for another year of growth and development at the AHL level. But yeah, I still think there's something untapped within Isaac Phillips at the NHL level, whether it's here or elsewhere. Like, that remains to be seen.
Yeah. I mean, we all wanted to see Phillips more, but obviously something just wasn't there. I mean, Luke Richardson and Kevin Dean played nearly 1,800 combined NHL games as a defenseman. I'll trust their judgment when it comes to that position.
Yeah.
I'll trust what they're looking for, that they have a better eye than any of us.
Mm-hmm. Steve from Cicero.
Or in the chat or on Twitter. I will trust their judgment more when it comes to that. And I like Isaac Phillips a lot. He's a great kid.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of potential, but obviously it wasn't happening for him. If he was playing better than Jared Tenorti, he would have been in the lineup over Jared Tenorti.
I also think when you look at it, it's not some conspiracy. Well, you can also, and maybe we should ask specifically, right? Like, he has also gone down to Rockford and been on a freaking tear. He's got four goals in his last couple games. Like, he's down there kicking ass, and maybe they said, look, we need Rockford to get in the playoffs. We need Rockford to make a run here, and Isaac Phillips can help us do that.
We were talking about that at practice, Jay and I, hey, they're going on the road for three. They probably need to call up another forward if Reese Johnson can't go and Colin Blackwell's out. And we were mentioning guys in Rockford, and I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to call those guys up because they're doing so well in Rockford, and quite frankly, the IceHogs' success right now is more important to this organization than what the Blackhawks do these final 11 games of the regular season.
Yeah.
So, you know, Cole Gutman, do I take him out of there? He's been one of their best players the last couple of weeks. I don't know if I take so I don't know who you call up. Like, you know, it's a tough decision.
Ralston.
You know, but if you're going to call someone up and you're going to take him away from Rockford, you definitely want to play him here.
Yeah, you don't want to take up a guy and just have him be the 13th forward.
Right. Like, so we'll see what happens, you know, if you know, Reese Johnson and Colin Blackwell, neither of them skated today, so I don't think they're going to be available.
Well, Reese Johnson was on the ice before practice, as was Connor Murphy.
I had some people asking about Connor Murphy. He skated on his own, which
still alive.
Is a good sign. I mean, we're really cutting it close. I'd be shocked if he played again this year, but he's trying to. In typical,
he's going to try
hockey player fashion. Yeah, I don't know when to give up the ghost, but maybe we'll see Murphy back for the last handful of games. Vince is asking, when's Nazar coming to the big club? When Michigan stops playing hockey? They're in the NCAA tournament, and it probably not happening this year. At this point, the timing isn't going to line up.
Especially
if Michigan wins a little bit here early in the tournament, just not.
If they win their first two games, then that will get them to the Frozen Four. That is
Frozen Four is the
April 11th, I think.
Is right as the season is ending. So
So that would completely take him off.
Yeah.
The board.
So I don't expect to see him.
They have a tough first game though. They play North Dakota, so maybe it might be over this weekend.
Is it Michigan or Michigan State playing North Dakota?
Michigan.
I read that wrong earlier.
Yeah, I mean,
I know people were bitching that they're playing in such a small rink in Missouri.
Yeah.
North Dakota gets like over 12,000 fans a game. Michigan gets almost 7,000 fans a game, and they're playing in a 2,000-seat arena in middle of nowhere, Missouri. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Is it the arena that the Blackhawks played that preseason Blues, game that was, like, untelevised?
Because they had no electricity.
Only so many hamster wheels. Even if Nazar's season ends this weekend, it's still up to him what he wants to do. I think it'd be fun if he were to
I'm all
sign.
For it. You do but, burn a year but, for only a handful of games.
Yeah. So I don't know. And then, I mean, like it's a long season for him. I don't know how much there is for him to jump in and do, but if the organization's all for it and he wants to do it, then fine. I'm on board.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, one young player who has been improved since his call-up has been Lucas Reichel. Before we wrap up, he met the media today, and I think you'll like to hear what he has to say. It seems a little bit, in a better bit of a mood than the last few times we've spoken to him.
He's been playing well.
Yeah.
It seemed like you were making some really good plays and skating well and everything. It just hasn't really translated to points yet. And I guess is that something you're trying to just take that final step with?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I felt good, but just like, you know, to have that killer instinct to put it in that or, make the last pass that creates your shot or to a goal. So just, you know, try to keep working on that and hopefully, I produce some, chances and everything.
There was that play where you kind of back-checked and stole it in the neutral zone and then circled all the way around the offensive zone. Is that kind of what you're hoping to do, just to be able to use your speed like that?
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants the puck, so just try to, make a play and be good when I don't have the puck. And I've been working with that for... since I got here, since two years in Rockford, and it's getting better and better. But still young, so I got so much to work on and improve on.
Did you feel more confident than last year?
Yeah, I feel like the whole trip. I think since I'm back, I feel more comfortable. But like I said, just like have that killer instinct and then put it in that.
Have the coaches talked to you about any way to kind of get more into the inside of the zone, be a little bit less in the perimeter, and so I guess some kind of tactic to get in there?
Not really tactic, but just having in your mind, like, I want to attack the net. And, just you can practice that. Like, today we had, like, a 2-on-2, and I just try to, attack the net. And around the net, you score the goal. So if you attack something, it's going to bounce in, I feel like.
Have you noticed a difference in how Luke Richardson is coached, just in general, not specifically with you, but overall versus last year versus this year?
We're in a tough spot. It's been a tough year, but we gotta like today, like we skate a lot and have like a harder practice, and then tomorrow I think, I'm not sure, but tomorrow in the morning it's like no skate. So it's good like to to go on the ice, practice hard, and then next day you can rest. And I feel like that's what he's been doing this season, and I think so far we like it too.
What are you looking to show these final 11 games?
Just attack the net and have that killer instinct, and just play the same way without the puck, just create more chances.
Is it weight on your mind at all, just depending on what your contract situation is with the effort this season?
A little bit, but you just try to, don't think about it. But, I love it here, and I love the boys, I love the city. So, you just try to think about it. And all I can do now, it's like playing my best game and show everyone that I, can play in this league.
Overall, are you happy with the way your game has grown since coming back from Russia?
Yeah. I feel like gave me, confidence is such a big thing, but just like, without the puck, like having, getting puck backs and competing and doing that like every single day, it's like a big thing, and I needed to work on, and I feel like I made a big step.
It seems like you've always played well against Calgary, so something about them that looks for
me and Dubs, we were talking about it. We had a good game last year when we played with Taser, and we'll see how it goes. I think it's always nice to play Calgary, so definitely we need like a better start than the last two games. I think I was pretty good, so it's about the start, first period, and then I think in the second and third we're always like good, but first 20 we gotta be better.
Your first goal is against Calgary, right?
Yeah. So maybe tomorrow is the day. We'll see.
Thanks.
There he was, Lucas Reichel and friends.
Lucas and friends. Yeah.
Kenzie Entwistle taking off his pants in the back.
Please send the law. He should have blurted out just to confuse people.
The unnecessary.
That would have been great.
I was keeping an eye on that as I was filming Lucas, like, all right, so far this is still usable. Let's see how far Mackenzie gets here. And it's like, okay, we're good. We're still in the compression gear.
Yeah.
So good stuff.
Yeah. Good to hear from Reichel. The last couple of games that he's played since coming back up, been noticeably different, noticeably more assertive. Just continue that. Continue doing that the rest of this season. Hopefully, he can maybe get a couple of points, maybe a goal or two here down the last couple of stretch to continue to build off of that, give him some more confidence to end the season. Finishing a year that like this that has been frustrating for him, finishing a year strong like that can do wonders. He's going to come back next year, and again have another opportunity to, really take hold of being part of the future, being someone that the team is going to invest in, and be looked at as Bedard and Korchinski and Vlasic and all these rookies and prospects, we want you to be a part of it too. Like, go out and play that way. So finishing this year strong, having more performances like he has the last few games, like that's the best thing for him.
And he was on power play unit 2 today with FNCU and Taylor Radish. Yeah. So he'll start getting some power play time here, which is a nice nod from the coaching staff to say, okay, you've received the message, you're doing the things we're asking you, here's your reward. And quite frankly, he's one of the top 6 forwards on his team, so he should be
probably
getting some power play time. We'll look for that tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow is our takeover.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coming with us, you should have received your tickets today.
Yep.
They were sent to you today, so make sure you grab those. We're doing a pregame meetup 5:30 at Crossroads right there on Madison and
May.
Thank you. Madison, you said that last game, and I forgot. Madison and May at Crossroads at 5:30.
Madison May sounds like a country singer playing Windy City Smokeout dish.
Yes, it does. It does. So if you're coming, we can't wait to see you.
We did promote that we had 2 tickets left. They have been sold.
Those are gone.
Yes. Oh, it is again sold out.
Once again, sold out.
Yep. So we'll see everybody there tomorrow, and we'll be here post-game. Tomorrow's post-game will probably be a little bit delayed since we're all staying till the end of the game. So we'll be maybe 15, 20 minutes after the final horn sounds. We'll be getting ready to come on. So have a little patience, but we'll be here. We'll have a wrap-up of the game and festivities to discuss.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Should be a lot of fun. So we're looking forward to it. Thanks to everybody who's coming, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on the CHGO Blackhawks postgame show.